I appreciate you kind of elucidating this interesting aspect of music history and audio history. And you've been listening to Radio Survivor. I'm Jennifer Waits here with Paul Reese Mandel. And every week we talk about the world of radio and sound and dig into all these different
there you go. There's good news. Good evening.
Crow T Robot from Mystery Science Theater 3000 here on 90.7 WGXC. What's the C stand for? Crow, I'm pretty sure. Yep. Maybe not.
Historical Society was established in 2009. Our mission is to collect, study, interpret, and preserve the history of the town of Caro, New York for the educational and cultural enrichment of present and future generations. We love to bring history alive through our programming, such as our Hometown Heroes banner program, our State of the Union dinners, our Victorian teas. Each teach history while having fun. Members receive absolutely free our quarterly journal, the Caro Herald, which is jam-packed with historical articles, pictures, and society news. Everyone, however, can access the Caro Historical Society's Facebook page, which is a treasure trove of Caro history and memories. It's easy to become part of our historical family. Call Sylvia at 518-821-3852 or email the Caro Historical Society at carohistsociety@yahoo.com.
Hi, this is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés. If you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street. You belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stephen Merritt of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Andrea Mako reports at Porcupine Soup that a Rensselaerville man is the latest local to be arrested for his part of the attempted coup in Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021. Troy Weeks, 37, who used to live in Greenville, was arrested on January 10. He was charged with obstruction of law enforcement during civil disorder, entering or remaining in a restricted building or grounds, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds, engaging in physical violence in a restricted building or grounds, impeding passage through the Capitol grounds or buildings, and assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers. The criminal complaint against Weeks says in part, and I quote, law enforcement identified an individual who pushed against police and stole a can of oleoresin capsaicin spray from a police officer while located near the entrance to the U.S. Capitol, end quote. The Federal Bureau of Investigation says they found him through an Instagram account belonging to a woman with the last name of Weeks. An estimated 979 defendants have been charged so far in the attempted coup, including several from the Hudson Valley. And you can read the full story at Porcupine Soup. The Catskill Central School District Board of Education selected Melissa A. Barrow to be its next superintendent of schools at its meeting on January 11th. Barrow takes over on February 12th. Barrow said, and I quote, I am honored and excited to be selected as the next superintendent of the Catskill Central School District. I look forward to working with the board, staff, and families to continue to build upon the strengths of the district while creating new opportunities for student success, end quote. She was most recently assistant superintendent of student programs, assessment, and evaluation in the East Ramapo Central School District in Rockland County. Before that, Barrow was an instructional supervisor, then director. She boasts of increasing the graduation rate there of English language learners by 26% and recently established a high school newcomer academy to support new students as they transition to high school. Board President Deborah Johnson said, and I quote, Melissa Barrow stood out among a strong pool of candidates. Her skills, experiences, and enthusiasm make her the right person to lead Catskill CSD. The board looks forward to working with Melissa, end quote. 12 parents, staff, and community members assisted the board in interviewing 4 semifinalists for the job. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that the Catskill Advisory Group believes the 700,000-acre Catskill Park needs, and I quote, intensive management, end quote, because of so many new visitors since the beginning of the pandemic. Attendance in the park doubled between 2018 and 2021, according to the report from the group. Locally, this can be seen in the town of Hunter, where hundreds of cars illegally park along both sides of the narrow Route 23A just before Catskill Fall throughout the summer and fall. All those visitors, the report says, and I quote, has resulted in the degradation of certain natural resources public safety hazards on mountainside roads, overcrowding at trailheads, litter, illegal camping, and more, end quote, and has, and I quote, stretched thin local services such as fire, ambulance, police, and mountain rescue teams, end quote. The group was formed in October 2020 with town leaders, local business people, and members of conservation groups to study and make recommendations about the increase in visitors. But the Department of Environmental Conservation, which manages the 700,000-acre Catskill Park, has staffing levels similar to the 1980s. The report recommends the DEC continue to use permit systems in the most crowded areas of the park and adding a small AM radio station to alert arrivals of important information. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
This is Tom Rowe with Wave Farm with the WGXC Radio News, daily update on what's going on in broadcast news. Tim Cushing reports in TechDirt that Apple is now offering users the option to fully encrypt data stored in its cloud service. Previously, when law enforcement could not access information on a cell phone, they could go around that in some situations by accessing what that locked cell phone had uploaded to the cloud. The Federal Bureau of Investigation was not happy about that announcement, as they would prefer a compromised encryption that only law enforcement can utilize that does not exist. If one creates a gate for law enforcement to get in, then hackers can use that too. Interestingly, the FBI was the only law enforcement agency with a statement against iCloud encryption. Cushing writes that the FBI, quote, has spent much of the past half decade lying about the extent of the problem encryption poses to investigators and insinuating that a solution could be had if only people smart enough to make it happen would stop playing dumb, unquote. Still, Apple made a concession to the FBI, not giving managed Apple IDs and child accounts the option to fully encrypt data. But that might be against the law in the United Kingdom and California. When that gets sorted out, it may be that child accounts are required to be fully encrypted, against the FBI's wishes. And finally, another party that is very much against allowing encryption on phones that would prevent governments from spying on constituents is the Chinese government. They surely won't like Apple's announcement, as it said that encryption, quote, will eventually be offered in China, unquote, which seems unlikely. But even if Chinese citizens won't have encrypted data, it appears residents of the United States will. Read more about this story in TechDirt. T. Carter Ross reports for Radio World that Cuban radio broadcaster, journalist, and DXer Arnaldo de Jesus Coro Antic died at age 80 on January 8, 2023. Radio listeners knew him as Arnie Coro on his twice-weekly program DXers Unlimited on Radio Havana, Cuba, Cuba's English-language shortwave service. Coro also co-founded Radio Havana and was a professor of broadcasting at the University of Havana. He joined the Radio Club de Cuba Amateur Radio Association at the age of 12, and then in 1957 began working as a journalist at Canal 7. He was one of the founders of Radio Havana Cuba in 1961, setting up the station's first transmitter before the Bay of Pigs invasion. State broadcaster Radio Cubana gave him the National Radio Award in 2017. Coro's amateur call sign was CO2KK. Read the full story at Radio World. John Brodkin reports for Ars Technica that Nevada's Democrat senators claim that the Federal Communication Commission's new, more detailed broadband map unveiled in November is full of errors, overstating coverage. Quote, Nevada's Office of Science, Innovation, and Technology has found over 20,000 purported broadband serviceable locations on the map that they believe overstate coverage. They also have found incorrect information on the quality of service available to some locations and, in some cases, missing serviceable locations, unquote. Senators Jackie Rosen and Catherine Cortez Masto wrote in a letter to the FCC last week. The FCC's broadband map cost at least $44 million to produce, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The complaints about the map come from all over the country, with the newspaper reporting that the state of New York found 31,000 missing, unserved, or underserved locations. In Vermont, things are worse. Quote, the map is missing or incorrectly lists the location of over 60,000 broadband serviceable locations. The map also lists service availability levels far beyond what the state has found through its mapping and what we are hearing about from residents, unquote, said Vermont Community Broadband Board Executive Director Christine Hallquist in a press release. The new map allows citizens to type in any address and find out broadband availability, but since there are so many reported errors, it is fairly useless. Both the FCC and Congress have rules requiring Internet service providers to submit accurate data for the map. The FCC has a January 13th deadline for consumers to challenge what is wrong about the map. But Rosen and Cortez Masto, the Nevada senators, want the FCC to, quote, work with NTIA to extend the availability and location challenge process by an additional 60 days to give our state broadband office and others the time needed to verify and submit accurate data, unquote. Billions of dollars of broadband grants depend on the map, so hopefully the FCC can make corrections. Read the full story at Ars Technica. Randy J. Stein reports in Radio World that the National Association of Broadcasters is not happy with new rules the Federal Communications Commission proposed to strengthen the process for identifying governmental entities' sponsorship of programming. The new rules are proposed after several foreign governments broadcast propaganda in the United States. For instance, in 2015, a California company, G&E Studio Broadcasting, in more than a dozen major cities was discovered to be backed by a subsidiary of the Chinese government. G&E Studio is 60% owned by a subsidiary of Chinese state-run radio broadcaster China Radio International. The National Association of Broadcasters does not seem to have an ideological opposition to the proposal now before the FCC, but objects because broadcasters have to spend time and money to fill out forms and prove who owns their stations. An NAB statement on the issue said, quote, we share the FCC's goal of ensuring the public understands when it is watching or listening to a foreign government-sponsored propaganda. While there are very few instances of this type of programming airing, we continue to work with the Commission to right-size its rules concerning on-air identification. The FCC can achieve its goals by placing regulatory burdens only on those airing such programming rather than the entire industry. The vast majority of broadcasters never has and never will air propaganda on behalf of a foreign government, unquote. So the FCC should just trust broadcasters to ask for regulatory burdens? Wouldn't a company broadcasting propaganda be incentivized not to ask for regulatory burdens? A first FCC attempt to adopt new disclosure requirements was overturned by Federal Appeals Court in July 2022, with the court ruling the FCC had no authority to impose a verification requirement. Anyone can make a comment on the FCC's proposed MB Docket 20-299 by January 24th using the Commission's online system with a link on the Wave Farm newsroom. Go to wavefarm.org for more radio news.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high near 33 degrees. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 23 degrees. And on Sunday, sunny with a high near 35 degrees. And Sunday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 21 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland. So then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them to the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
Some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11. Some restrictions apply.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
You're tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Oh, the German lights, this is it, the night of nights. No more rehearsing and nursing apart, we know every card by heart. Oh, the German lights, this is it, we'll hit the heights, and oh, what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
Thank you.
Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
Lost among the detritus of our details, we turn the jewel-hardened sputum of our Niagara and let it catch our light in its facets. We shall spend a special series of moments now perversely investigating the mystical, unspeakable, and unspoken layers evident in our textures, the tales within our tales, beyond language, beyond reason, beyond the Western Door.
Field that is at the same time a psychic field. This is the physical contact of the axionic entity. The person is being immersed and engulfed into a wave of energy. The contact is felt like that of a beam of light projected suddenly on your face with your eyes closed, or the heaviness of the heat wave one experiences in the hottest days of summer, or the paralyzing sensation on entering a very cold, freezing, sub-zero temperature of the outdoors. Certain people describe it like a wind or water running upon skin. Others compare it to the sensation one experiences when holding a magnet in the vicinity of iron. That sensation is a physical attraction or pulling toward a certain direction. A magnet, in fact, attracts iron and certain other materials by virtue of the surrounding fields of force produced by the motion of its atomic electrons and the alignment of its atoms.
Mozzarella sticks? asks why again and again. She needs answers. Her hand clenches other hand. She wants to hear him one more time, find closure. She bursts into a weep. Her foot taps mechanically. The churning leg milks her grief into the unseen pseudo-alchemical chambers working below. Every drop of that grief is collected through a network of tubes, glass and copper channels, terminating in bubbling beakers and fat-bellied iron vessels. The sobs, the moment of release, moaning, wailing, and all that wafts in from those in mourning, is pulled under the floorboards by hot vacuum, filling sorrow jars and tanks of longing. It's oozing through the clear glass, smoking back up in a miasma that helps the seer see, helps the mediums make out the shapes in the invisible, yielding air. Lilyville processed pain is the philosopher's stone of the mystics of this town. Shelley is 83 years old, yet still riding her bike through the streets every morning, dumping hot ash under the tombstones, washing the sacred stump. The look in her eyes alive, smelling of cardamom, too virile, ravishing. Is Chevy, with skin so youthful, blessed by the tears of joy and agony, sucked out silently and mixed with the elixirs that moisturizes her skin, softens her dough, she parties. God, the parties here in Lilyville. All night, hard and frisky. Mr. Long, psychic, never catches a cold, has a mood like a rainbow, and has helped people connect to those on the other side, while he himself will live the long life on this side, thanks to the captured grief sweat, boiled in flasks, prepped to be exchanged for the power to hear the dead crystal clear. The hazy sizzle of a ghost touch, quickly as a flash, might have said, I wait for thee, my lovely sister. Or was it, I'm watering my lovely toaster? A transformation takes place. An excess of pathos in one end, and magic out the other. Into the blonde helmets goes the gravity. Mothers mourning their dead kids. Kids missing their dead folks. Lonely husbands and wives waiting for the message with open wounds crying out to suture themselves with the stitches of a sign, a door, an assurance that the dead are at peace and joyful. It has a smell, a weight, and even a taste. Such things as hot, fresh anguish and deep cup of regret. At an average reading, no less than a giant spirit can be contacted, given the right dose of trap fumes rising up from the reservoir of countless tears, waxing the faces of the bereaved with lavender Vaseline, as if awaiting the pressing of a jelly death mask mold to be sold at a later point at the local ghost shop. Lilyville, neither sinister nor beneficent, neither scam nor bargain, a duty-free shop on the borders of life and death, and science and spirit is all. Come, bring your deepest feelings. They shall be cooked, smoked, and snorted through old seance cones for stronger cuticles and clairvoyant skills. Here's one now.
If someone should say that sense can rise from nonsense only through the power of change, or through extrusion by it will suffice to show and prove to him that birth must be preceded by coition, and that no change takes place without joint action. In the first place, no senses can exist in matter before we have a living creature, because, of course, its substance is dispersed in air, stream, things born here. And hasn't foregathered nor made those balanced things proper to life, that start sensation, guard all watchful, guardian of each living.
Not quite. The moisture is
Further, since pain occurs when in our parts and organs, atoms of matter are disturbed and shaken from location by some force, but pleasure results when they drop back in place, you'll see that atoms cannot be attacked by any pain, nor of themselves gain pleasure, since out of all the atoms, there are none whose movements could, by change, be rendered painful, or garner the fruits of sweet life-giving joy. Atoms must not then be endowed with sense.
Lily Lilyville is not only known for their psychics, but they're also home of the world-famous Lilyville soft pretzels. Yes, this is the same Lilyville as the popular Lilyville soft pretzel chain, found in many rest stops along the East Coast. In 1989, Marion Winfield of Lilyville started selling her unique soft pretzels on a roadside along a busy section of Route 33, and her salty, buttery... And her salty... And her salty...
With a magnifying glass with a magnification of 4 diameters, only a contraction of the largest magnum could be seen. The mouth and the vessels were too small for the given magnification. After half an hour of the preparation of the
in end of the normal Marion Winfield of the bowel.
Contractions occur every 5 to 6 minutes and were well marked.
Lilyville is not only known for their psychics, but they are also home of the world-famous Lilyville soft pretzels. Yes, this is the same Lilyville as the popular Lilyville soft pretzel chain, found in many rest stops along the East Coast. In 1989, Marion Winfield of
Higher beings are only too happy when you show yourself loving enough to rise. You will be given every help and chance when you ask for it, whether you ask by taking LSD or any other way, be it simple prayer or writing a letter to Santa Claus. You are never asked to torment or frustrate yourself. You don't have to prove anything. You can't prove anything. Your vibrations always speak truth. You can't lie about them. And it is easy to rise on the wings of love. No matter how convincing any perception of any level of reality, no matter how overwhelming, intricate, and complex, you are still seeing only a fragment within our true reality, being just us, unresisting, unattached, loving all.
As in the Egyptian rite, so that the vapor and burning smell of the sacred smoke left without troubling the temple. On the other side of the altar, I found this inscription, exquisitely carved in rough letters, reminding me of the altar found at Belizium near Tarentum. As I circled this earthy or subterranean place, I saw no other handiwork except seats joined to the walls and of the same material. After admiring all these things diligently, without measureless delight and singular devotion, I returned to the surface, where I wondered at the preservation work? The Samara. It confirmed my suspicion that the temple had had an open roof because the ruins had piled up around it while leaving this part undamaged. Now I cast my eyes about and saw that one of the triangles was almost intact. Straightway, my feet followed my eyes and I asked the tomb. In its ceiling, an elaborate picture had been preserved, subtly executed with incredible skill and expertise in color mosaics.
That you needed to make some changes. Is there love in your past?
Yes, I mean, my family, when I was a kid, always provided lots of love. But I don't know, I tried Match.com, I tried Christian Singles, I tried Bumble, and it's just guy after guy, and, you know, it's like, I want love, I want a family, I want someone, make me pancakes, and take me out to a nice dinner.
I see a strong man, I see a very strong man. Soldier.
Soldier?
Yeah.
Someone that feels like it's like someone just moved into my apartment. Like, he helped me carry my groceries the other day and rough around the edges. And I did go for a military man. Put myself out there. My job has gotten busy, so I haven't been able to go to curbs as often as I used to.
Get some nice makeup. Get some new, big, strong. Carrying boxes, carrying dorm fridges and things. Very strong.
Get a buzz cut.
Yeah.
I don't really feel a kind of presence around me. Like, a benevolent presence.
Someone, there are lots of hands. Did you know someone who was passed who had lots of hands?
The present research was designed to ascertain what type of person commits suicide at Niagara Falls. Data were collected on suicides identified by the police on both sides of the falls from 1978 to 1988. During the 11-year period from 1978 to 1988, 60 suicides jumped from the American side, and 81 jumped from the Canadian. This total of 141 suicides, an average of 12.8 each year, represents an increase over the average of 7.1 reported by Lester and Brockup for the period from 1958 to 1967. Of those whose sex was known, 59% were male and 41% female. Thus, the percentage of women is higher than it generally is for suicides in the United States, 24%, or Canada, 25%. The mean age of the women was 38 years old, and of the men, 39.5 years. The most popular points for entering the water, Prospect Point on the American side, and Table Rock on the Canadian, are the points where a typical visitor first encounters the water. The majority of the suicides occurred during the summer months, May to August, and during the day, from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. In other words, at times when most tourists are visiting the falls, an intervention by bystanders is most likely.
Thank you.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
You can call me Mike. Mike, let me make us some coffee.
I think I found something.
I'll be right back.
Those footsteps. No, it couldn't be, but it is. Double crossing bookstore. The same footsteps that walk down the hallway to my office. Johnny, you used to be such a sister to me. I know. My sister's dance days stood her up.
Reading like this in the dark, too. Your eyes are all squinty and hard, and the wrinkles in your face make you look like 100 years old. Oh, my. You're sweating. Here, drink this. I made you some black coffee, remember?
No, thanks. I'll have a slug of this instead.
Well, chase it with this. You'll feel better.
I have a feeling you're trying to poison me. She has 2 cups of coffee. I'll just switch the cups and we'll be even.
Mike, did you hear what I said? Oh, you're wrapped up in your cups again. It's still raining out.
Oh, my back. It's...
Mike!
Would you just pick those books up for me, Johnny? There, the cups are switched. That should do it.
Here you are.
Here's to you, Johnny.
Drink up, Johnny.
Why don't you join me?
Oh, why sure.
Well, Johnny, I know what you're expecting. Drink up.
I feel so.
I switched the cups, Johnny. You just sipped your own poison.
I didn't.
I know what you did, Johnny. It was you. The footsteps.